Fellow Freedom fans, back here with the Faith and Freedom Show, David Allen, Carmichael and Eagle, 104.3 FM. Write this down on your coffee cup. You can use your thumb and put it in your styrofoam cup so you won't have to forget it. It's 888-850-1872. I'm speaking to Brad Barnhill. You can check out his story on Personal Odyssey at blogspot.com, personalodyssey.blogspot.com. He's got a story, and this is kind of almost a cameo appearance. It's not a cameo because I've given credit to him, but he's here. His wife was at the airport with, it was either his mother or her mother.
Mother-in-law.
Okay, so it's her mother, and her mother was getting harassed by the TSA because she was making the beeper go off because of some surgery she had. And the leftover material inside her body. And so what happened is it just that by association, they started basically harassing Brad's wife while she was standing on the side, ended up making false charges, very clearly false charges of all kinds of strange, disturbing a public meeting and all kinds of weird make-believe statutes, or I guess a real statutes that wouldn't apply to the situation. Ultimately, threatening her, physically abusing her, doing all kinds of stuff, thinking that there would be no recompense. Most people will tolerate that, suffer the abuse, and let it go on. The problem is they had got a tiger by the tail, and they had no idea. And you know what? Sometimes that's a divine appointment. For people to be held accountable, they don't realize who they're messing with. And
it's not like we go out there looking for trouble.
Okay. I agree.
And we don't. I personally haven't been inside of a courtroom for anything I've done wrong for about 5 years. But, you know, Catherine just can't, you know, it's not like she's out looking for trouble. It's just, you know, how some people are born great and others have greatness forced upon them.
Okay.
And that's what this is. It's a situation where she stepped up to the plate and is holding the minions of the beast accountable for their actions. And I understand that most people don't do this. You know, most people don't have a background in the law. Most people don't have training in the law. And they would have to go out and get an attorney to go and take care of this stuff for them. But a little bit of legal education and a person, an unrepresented party, can do so many things that an attorney cannot do for you. But you do have to learn the procedure, and yes, you have to get good at it.
But I will tell you also, Brad, from personal experience, there is a little bit of a divine intervention, a divine guidance. You got the hand of God basically trumping your enemies, basically confusing them. And the reason I say that, there's things that I've done in my life that I've tried to train other people to do, and they just can't do it. They've got an excitement, a zeal, and you know what? It's like hitting a brick wall. So yeah. There are some things I think that Catherine's involved in that go a little bit beyond her. I'm thrilled at her willingness to stick in there because it's very difficult, very exhausting. And what I wanted you to do just for our Eagle 104.3 audience, tell the folks, because this is mostly over their head. This is a big fight. Well, it's got some big fight against the Transportation Safety Authority, wherever they are, the TSA. Roughed her up a bit, took her into the hoosegow against the law and roughed her up here and there, did a whole bunch of unlawful things, and she's holding them accountable in a courtroom. What is it specifically she's doing right now in court?
Well, this morning was the opening of the case before the judge, and there were some late motions in limine where the defendant is trying to limit the evidence of the argument. Well, we had hearings on those motions months and months ago, and he had his opportunity to raise these issues back then. So one of our arguments against that is it's not timely. He needed to have raised that issue back then. And even so, even the issues that he's raising, for example, the facts of the case are that my wife went into court that day to ask the judge to order the prosecutor to explain the charges. And she can do that. It's called a demand for bill of particulars. And in many states, the procedure is set forth, and that's something we always do. Because you can't just say someone was disturbing a lawful meeting. Okay? That doesn't give me enough information to raise a defense. What meeting was disturbed. How is it disturbed? What are the facts that you're going to present to the jury to show that someone was disturbed? Who specifically is going to say they were disturbed?
What made it a lawful meeting? What is a lawful meeting?
How is it? Right. How is it a lawful meeting? So, and what's your evidence that it was a lawful meeting? So these are some of the questions that my wife presented to the prosecutor before that day, and she gave the prosecutor notice that she was going to ask the judge to address that, okay? And so the prosecutor, in response, doesn't, and we find out later on, that the prosecutor doesn't know what a bill of particulars is.
Now, that's scary.
She has absolutely no idea what the criminal procedure is when someone demands a bill of particulars.
And that's in the statute.
Prosecutor that's taken an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the state, where a person has the right to know the nature and cause of the accusation, which is what the bill of particulars is based upon. I need to know what the accusation is so I can defend it. You can't just say disturbing a lawful meeting. That's not enough. Okay? So in Michigan, there's the constitutional provision in Article 1, Section 20, and then there's the statutory procedural provision in the Michigan criminal procedure statutes that say if she asks for a bill of particulars, they have to provide one. In the situation where she was in, where all they're doing is charging her using the statutory language.
Right.
Okay, so she went in there, she said, look, you're charging me under the statutory language. I have a right to know the nature and cause of the accusation. I've demanded a bill of particulars. You haven't given me one. Today in court, I'm going to ask the judge to order you to give me one. And what does the prosecutor do? Okay, well, we'll go to court? No, the prosecutor stands up, leans over the conference table, lunges at her, slams her fist down on the conference table, and says, I don't have to answer any of your effing questions. Is that a way for a professional to behave in a professional setting?
Well, there's a statute against that language.
Well, I don't know, you know, and it frightened my wife so much that she jumped up out of her seat and she ran out of the conference room and to find her mom so that at least there'd be a witness to something that happened. Okay.
Yeah, because when somebody starts doing that, you realize they're over the top. Anything could happen right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've never met this woman before. We don't know what she will and will not do. And the problem is that because she's got authority, she thinks she can do anything she wants.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's wrong. She has a duty to protect and defend my wife's right to know the nature and cause of the accusation. And she doesn't even know her role in how to do that. And when challenged on that, her reaction is to physically threaten the defendant. Okay? And so my wife jumps out of her seat, comes out of the conference room, and she's standing there next to her mother, and the prosecutor comes around the table and comes to the open door and turns to the bailiff and says, put her in the box, put her in the box, put her in the box. Well, my wife is scared to death that they're going to throw her in a holding cell. So that's what this is about. That's criminal assault is what it is. You place a person in fear for their safety. You do it intentionally. You have the ability to carry through on the threat. And somehow, somebody stops it. And my wife, jumping out of her seat, prevented the woman from hitting her. She really believed that this woman was going to hit her. And now, today is judgment day. Okay, so this morning they had some procedural issues about whether or not the use of the effing word would be admissible, whether or not the jury was even going to hear that the defendant cursed at my wife. Well, I think it's material.
Well, what is the charge specifically?
Well, our cause of action against this particular defendant is assault. Two counts of assault. One, where she physically threatened her by coming over the lunging over the conference table and banging on the conference table and screaming the F word at my wife. And the other, where she was directing a man with a gun to put her in a box. That's an assault as well.
Do you have any, like, case law where some kind of similar thing like that's happened before?
All you have to do is look at the jury instruction for assault. Now, no, you're not going to. We have been looking for in Michigan, and we've never found it, a specific case where a public officer acting in the capacity of a prosecutor has physically threatened a criminal defendant. No, we've never seen that. I wonder why.
Right.
You know, when are you ever going to see something like that?
Because really, who's the judge had the authority to tell somebody to put her in the box. Is that possible?
Prosecutor doesn't.
No.
Prosecutor doesn't have, you know, later on, you know, through the deposition, when we're asking the defendant, you know, what she meant by put her in the box, what she says that she meant, put her in the jury box. But we've got testimony that we anticipate from one of the witnesses, the bailiff.
What does it mean when she says put her in the box? Yeah.
He'll say, I don't know.
Ah.
That's what he's going to say. We don't use that term. But now she's changed her story to be, I told him to put her in the jury box. Well, she never said that.
Right.
She's lying under oath. She intends to lie under oath to save her skin.
But I've seen that done by U.S. attorneys before. I mean, federal attorneys and state attorneys.
Well, I can't say they all do it. That's
no, I mean, I've seen it done.
Generalization, and I hate generalization.
Right. But what I'm saying is it's most people would say, you've got to be kidding. They wouldn't do that. No, I've only been in two situations where I've been able to see something like that, and it happened in both occasions. So that was a little troubling.
In all of the cases in which I've ever been involved, I've without exception, the witnesses for the government have always said, I don't know, conveniently, I don't remember, I don't recall, or they just flat out bald-faced lie.
And I don't know, I mean, it's very troubling.
It is very troubling.
Yeah. And you know what, I mean, it kind of goes back, and I don't know what they're learning in law school, but it goes back to the sophist rhetoric. If you say something, it doesn't matter if it's true. If you're persuasive, then it becomes sort of true. And that is actually what's being taught in law schools.
Well, the law, you know, and that's you're right. What's being taught in law school is it doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter what the evidence is. What matters is how you paint the evidence.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're doing some of that on our own. You know, we're painting the evidence, but we're painting the evidence of what actually took place.
Well,
so where does a public prosecutor get off treating a criminal defendant in that manner and calling it a professional meeting?
Now, then for our listeners, they don't realize that even to have that meeting, they don't realize that if this attack, this basically this charge against your wife is almost, it's like an affirmative defense. It's the best defense is a good offense. And they were basically having to come up with something to charge her with because of their misbehavior to make it look like she's the bad guy. And most people don't understand that that's what brought this confrontation to the position it was in, is they had to trump up something against her because they had nothing. She had not done anything wrong.
And you're going to love this. The very same assistant prosecutor trumped up a charge against my wife's mother. Okay? Not with respect to what happened at the airport, but with respect to what she alleged happened in the courthouse. On one of the days when my wife had to go to that very same court and deal with that very same prosecutor, she doesn't go in the conference room with that prosecutor alone anymore. In fact, the other times when we went into the conference room with the prosecutor, I was with her and another prosecuting attorney were in there. And that's the proper way to do a negotiation.
Oh, absolutely. Accountability. Before two or more witnesses.
In front of the judge, but she will never, ever again.
Okay, we got to take a break here. We're here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Yes, we're bringing a very interesting situation to your public awareness that you wouldn't hear about otherwise. It's a little bit crazy. It's Liberty Works Radio Network trying to get truth in broadcasting. Keep tuning in. Check us out on our website, faithfreedoms.org. You can see the live video stream. And we shall return here to the Eagle 104.3 FM shortly.